You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Brad. This is Parklandia, a production of iHeartRadio.
We sold our loft in Chicago, moved into an RV, and now we're traveling the country full-time with our dog, Finn, exploring America's national parks.
And today we're airing another episode of Boondocking with Brad. We are talking about hooking up your RV. So I guess this one's one that Matt definitely won't jump in a lot. I want him to when he can and when he wants to talk about it, because there's definitely going to be a point where he's going to throw something in my face, in particular about Santa Fe. But
okay.
So we should actually start at the basics. What is hooking up your RV? What does that mean? So that is when you are going to like a campsite and you are going to be using their electricity and their water inside of your RV. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you how to do that. I'm going to describe it to you so that way you can learn and find the ways to like research it. So if you're trying to get into this lifestyle, basically you are ahead of the game and you know what to ask next, right? Everything here is just the beginning because I don't have visuals. So I want you to just listen and learn how to do this, because these are things you're going to do all the time. Hooking up and disconnecting your RV happens almost daily sometimes. It's definitely a weekly thing, if not a monthly thing. So when you first arrive to an RV park, you're going to get a map of the campground when you check in. And then that RV park will most likely have a guide that will take you to your RV spot. And so you're going to pull into your RV spot. Now, sometimes there are back-ins, and then there's also pull-through sites. So those are the two main sites. So a back-in is one that you back into. And when you do that, you're going to want to disconnect any vehicles you have or any trailers, because most of the time those are for like a smaller site. So you would park your vehicle or your trailer in front of you or on the side of the road. And so disconnecting a car or a trailer, it's about your ball hitch and it's how your hitch setup works. The nice thing about the trailer that we were pulling around with us the past year, it had an electrical jack. So basically you didn't have to crank it up and crank it down with a chalk block. You pushed a button, you held it down, and it like raised the trailer off of your hitch for you. It was really, really nice to have in those situations. But because it was a trailer, we always had to call the RV park ahead of time to ask them about like, where do we park this? Can we park this here? Some do allow it, some don't. Can we use a parking space? Is there a special storage area? There's a lot of different questions that you have to get into even before you arrive to make sure that they can accommodate you and your setup. This was really annoying for us. But luckily, most places had somewhere. There was only one or two, but luckily we actually had friends nearby, so we could go drop it off at their place, and then we had to call them and ask them where they want it and that kind of thing. But so these are definitely technical details of when you're on the road of what you have to deal with. So once you get the car or trailer disconnected, you're going to back in this situation. So you're going to want to make sure you're level when you're backing in. So you're going to find the, you're going to do a walk around of your vehicle and of the site beforehand, because sometimes they're going to have different dips in the grounds or things like that. So you'll have your own chalk blocks, and those chalk blocks are going to help you level out. So as you're backing in, you're kind of putting these chalk blocks below to help level out your RV, because when you have a crooked RV, it kind of feels like you have vertigo, and you just get dizzy, or you're like, whoa, like, or you misstep a lot because you're thinking you're on a flat surface, but you're not. So these chalk blocks come in handy, definitely, 110%. And then once you're on those chalk blocks and you're level, you're going to want to put in your emergency brake. Right? And that's a really quick way of putting that together. But this is a very important step. There's times where it's taken me 5 minutes because I'm on flat ground. And then there's times where it's taken me a half an hour to get it right. And that's because I didn't have the right chalk blocks at that point in time. So I had these ones that you basically, they were a 4x4 inch square almost, and you basically stack them on top of each other like a pyramid. So there was like 4 peg holes, almost like a Lego. And so I had 2 of those, and then I put one in the center of that, so that way it created a ramp, like you put 3 Legos together, 1, 2, and then one in the middle that connects them both, right? And so that's how you start to get it level, but you have to like move them forward or backwards depending on where you're at. But then there's some RVs that have auto levelers for you. So you literally push that button, it levels itself, and you're golden. So it all depends on your specific RV site and or setup that you get. And these are all great things to look for when you're buying an RV, right? We would love that. It would be a beautiful thing to have. And then you have to get different jack pads and things like that. A jack pad is the thing that goes on the ground that will basically the auto lever goes into, and it's that way it doesn't poke a hole through the ground and then it doesn't level itself. So once you get your vehicle all level, the first thing you're going to do in most situations is plug in your electrical cords. So if you have a trailer like ours where it's permanently put in, hooked up into your RV, basically you're going to pull out this long 30-amp extension cord that will go and plug into the electrical outlet box. And some RVs, they're not like permanently attached. So basically they'll be in like one of your storage areas, and then you're going to come out and plug it into your RV and then into that. So there's just like 2 different types of setups there. But when you get over to that electrical outlet box, you're going to want to make sure that the electricity breakers, the circuit breakers, are turned off. And that's just because you don't want to create a surge with into your RV because your AC is still on accident or something like that, because all these things can create these surges, which then can ruin your RV. And then you have to go get warranty work done, or you have to pay more money to do it. So it's always better to be safe than sorry. And that's why we use a surge protector as well. And so we plug in our surge protector into the 30-amp outlet for us. We then plug the surge protector into our extension cord that came out of our RV. And then we turn that circuit breaker on to feed power into our RV. There's a lot of electrical equipment within your RV, and protecting it is probably the most important asset to RV living. We've had an issue with our generator breaking, but that's more for boondocking, so I'll get into generators on another episode. But you're going to want to go back in. You're going to check that your fridge is working, because it will be auto, gas, and off. So when you're driving, it actually works off of your stored energy in your house battery. There's 2 batteries in an RV normally, sometimes more. But basically, to break it down simply, you have your engine battery for your chassis, for your normal vehicle. And then you have your house battery, which is in the back, right? And so those 2 will charge off of each other and connect to each other. But then there's different breakers in between them, again, to help with those electrical surges and such. So when you're driving down the road, your fridge is on gas, but it actually runs off that house battery as well. They work together to make sure that your food stays cold while driving. So when you have that on auto, you just want to make sure it's a solid green light. Once you plugged in that 30-amp outlet, The other thing you're going to do is you're going to go over to your AC or your heat panel to make sure that that's working. And then you'll turn on your lights and live life with electricity, right?
Yeah.
So I bet you didn't know there's all that involved in hooking up.
I had no idea.
And we're only on electricity.
Yeah.
The next easy part is water, right? It's like hooking up a hose to from your car to a spray nozzle. Like, it's just that easy. Except you want to make sure you have regulators on there. There's a water pressure regulator you can get almost anywhere. Walmarts, Amazon, anything. $5 to $10, cheap. But if you don't have one of those, some water parks' water levels are so high with pressure that it could actually blow out pipes within your RV. So you get this little $5 to $10 thing and you put that on the spigot outside. Then you plug your hose in, your water hose. You don't want to use your dump hose or your dump cleaning hose. Because they're going to be two separate ones. So you have that water hose, basically. And then what we do is we have a water filtration system. So that way it filters the water that's going into our RV so we can drink with it, cook with it, because we don't know where this water's been and how it's been used in these different local municipalities. So as you're traveling, you don't have a normal resource for water that, like, you know where it's from. So that's what we do to make sure that we filter that water. Plug it into your RV, turn on the spigot outside, and voila, you got water inside of your RV. These are the easiest parts of hooking up. The next one is the dirty, nasty dump hose.
My favorite.
Absolutely. You are listening to Parklandia from iHeartRadio.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Brad. This is Parklandia. The next one is the dirty, nasty dump hose. So hooking it up is actually really easy. You basically, what you're doing is you're taking that dump hose. It's normally in a 15-foot accordion. I would say the circumference is like 3 inches or 4 inches around. So it's a big hose because that's what's going to take your wastes from your RV or your dirty waters from your RV into the ground. From the outside, you're going to have a panel that flips up So basically, this is where you're going to take and put your dump hose on the RV's waste fitting. And that basically extends it to where you can then take it to the dump station's inlet. And that inlet is going to be normally in the ground, and that's where you'll hook up the other side of your dump hose and make sure that it's tightly secured, because you don't want any of this stuff coming out. That's for sure. Where I made my biggest mistake in Santa Fe, New Mexico, was before I put my dump hose on, I basically didn't check to see if my black tank safety valve was closed. And so when I took off the cap to my RV's fitting, the waste fitting, I took off that cap and all that black tank shot out at me.
Oh.
It went everywhere. It was a disaster. It was the nastiest thing that happened in my life. And I was screaming, and you're fighting against all this poo-filled water. Yes, feces. Filled water, and it's spraying on you, and you're trying to like freak out. You're like, oh my God, what did I do? And you're trying to put the cap back on, and then you don't realize that like it's not the cap. You need to put that safety black tank safety lever back in, so that way it just stops flowing for a second so you can breathe and vomit, because it's so gross. It was a horrible experience. I'm still have PTSD over this. And I just remember stripping down. I definitely threw up,
yeah.
To make it that much worse.
Yeah, right.
And I remember going to Matt, and I said, I need you to give me the shampoo. And he wasn't moving fast enough. I said, I need you to give me the shampoo. I said, if you don't give it to me now, I'm going to freak out. And he's like, now Matt's freaking out. He's like, what happened? I said, the dump tank went all over me. And like, he just got real quiet, really nice, and he just smiled as he passed that over, because he's just like, this is it. Like, I can't take this. Like, yeah. That's why I don't do this.
Oh,
point
no. My
and
gosh.
Case. So needless to say, we were supposed to check out at 10, and I didn't check out to 11 because I was in that shower for an hour. I went through about half of that bottle of shampoo because I wanted to have every gross feeling off of me. I brushed my teeth, threw away my toothbrush afterwards. You know, anything I used, I basically threw away, including the towel and the clothes I was wearing. Even though they're like my favorite pair of jeans, I didn't care. I'm not dealing with that.
No.
So I get back up and I, you know, I hook up the dump tank and get it all taken care of. And the problem is, I don't want you to ever have to go through what I went through. It was a traumatic experience, horrific experience, and you're going to be a lot happier knowing that you don't have to go through that like I did. So that's all good. Dumped the tanks. I disconnected the hose. I washed it out. But anyways, this is about hooking up that, not actually disconnecting it. So we'll go over that in a tiny bit longer, because there's a couple more things that you're definitely going to want to do. And this is also why you wear gloves when you're in this situation, when you're hooking up your dump tank. And then you're going to want to always keep those closed. Even though you have the hose connected, when you're dumping it, you want to open up those, you dump your waste, and then you close those emergency safety levers again, even if you're there for a week, because you're going to want to dump your tanks about like every couple days. But you don't want to keep those traps open, because, you know, then you'll have different like flies and possibility of animals or rodents getting into your RV. So you want to keep these things closed at all times, even if you just like leave your dump hose hooked up like I do. You don't want to leave it open. So basically, you will be collecting waste within your RV and then dumping it every couple days. And that's just to make sure you don't have rodents inside of your RV. We never really had any issues with this, but I've been told about the different kinds of flies that can grow or spawn like Satan and come into your RV. So we just be safe, and we learn from other people's mistakes in that aspect, because I've already learned enough around the dump tank that I don't need to learn anymore. Another thing you're going to want to do is you're going to want to just make sure that your propane tanks are on and that your supply is full when you're hooking up, just so that way you can cook, you know, you can You can bake in your oven. You can cook eggs on your stovetop, whatever you want. You just want to make sure that you have that. But now once you've done that, you've learned your lesson to never mess with the dump tanks. You've hooked up your water and your electricity. You're ready to throw out that awning, fire up that barbecue, and put out that outdoor equipment because it's time to have a good time camping. Really easy and a super, super fun time, as long as you don't make mistakes.
Right.
So basically, you're going to reverse that now. To get out of there, you're going to, you know, I always leave the water and electricity until the end because basically your Matt's always going to be in there maybe like making a cup of coffee in the morning or making his oatmeal or something like that. So he'll need some of those things. And so basically, because we take off pretty early in the mornings, you know, we try to get out of places by 8 or 9 a.m., even though you have till 11. So when you go around the RV, you're going to take away your dump hose first. So you're going to dump your wastes. You're going to do your black tank first. You always do your black tank first because that's going to be your feces and like bad stuff. And then you do your gray tank second. And that's because that's just your like gray water. That's why it's called gray. And that's because it's just the water that was from your shower or from washing dishes, things that are not as, you know, nasty. But basically, you're going to dump those second. Once it's all done, you're going to close your emergency valves, put your cap back over your RV sewer inlet, and you're going to take your accordion dump hose and you're going to wash it out. And this is where it requires a second hose. You don't want to use your normal water hose because you don't want that to actually touch and then all of a sudden you have like nasty water. So you use a special hose to clean that out, rinse that out, accordion it, you put your caps on, you make sure it's nice and dried out and like rinsed out, and then you put that away. Really easy. Next thing I do is I'll take the water. I'll check with Matt to make sure that he's all good. He got his water that he needs. And then I will take that water hose assembly apart and just, you know, round it up. And I'll put it in my wet storage container on the outside of the RV, which is one of the storage units that, like, it's better for wet stuff. Then I'll take our electrical cord and I'll wind it back up into our RV's side organizer holder place, and basically that will go away. I'll make sure that all of my awnings are in, that our slide outs are in. I'll do a 360 surveillance of the area to make sure that there's nothing else hooked up or that our scooters still hooked up and not like laying on the side or anything like that, because we tow around our scooter to get around to different areas and different neighborhoods that we travel to. And so basically, I'll do a 360 check. I'll check my tires. I will make sure that everything is working and we're ready to hit the road safely. So once that's all done, I'll jump in. I'll pull forward a little bit. And you know what you have to do again? After you pull forward about 5 to 10 feet, you stop it and you go do another 360 because a lot of times you'll have chalk blocks and you don't want to leave back your chalk blocks because those can range anywhere between $40 to like $180, because some of these chalk blocks are like $80 a chalk for like these specialized ones. Luckily, we don't have those, but you don't want to leave anything behind. And then you basically get in your RV and go on your merry way until you have to do it again the next day if you're living on the road full time, or if you're going home, then till you go home again. So there's a lot of fun things about RV living, and hooking up your RV can be a fun thing and a bad thing. Most of the time, it's just a lot of work. It only takes 15 to 20 minutes, and it's not really that difficult, but you'll find your system, you'll find the places where it's, you store things, and you'll make it work for you. I make sure that Matt never has to deal with this, but this actually reminds me... you have to remind me to pick up some more gloves because I just ran out when we hooked up this time.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah, will do.
You've been listening to Parklandia, a show about national parks.
Parklandia is a production of iHeartRadio.
Created by Matt Kerouac, Brad Kerouac, and Christopher Hasiotis.
Produced and edited by Mike Johns.
Our executive producer is Christopher Hasiotis.
Our researcher is Jesslyn Shields.
A special thanks goes out to Gabrielle Collins, Crystal Waters, and the rest of the Parklandia crew.
And hey, listeners, if you're enjoying the show, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people like you find our show.
You can keep up with us on social media as well. Check out our photos from our travels on Instagram at Parklandia Pod and join in on the conversation in our Facebook group, Parklandia Rangers.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
And as always, thank you for listening.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money in markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.